Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
All right, Chuck and Julie, and yes, Party Friday. It's definitely Party Friday. True straight up here. Chuck Bonner, Julie Hayden. And as we have every Friday, we've got Patrick Neville, our favorite elected official in the whole world.
In the whole world. Jordy, A-Man is making a return at 3:30. Meantime, I want to let you know, show brought to you or sponsored by Colorado Citizen Press.
Gotta go to that every day.
ColoradoCitizenPress.com, a great place to check up. I want to say thank you and welcome to everybody watching on Zoom. If people want to call in, let me give you the number, 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008.
And if you're on Zoom and you want to join us, just hit the video button and we'll recognize you
because
we love to talk to everybody.
That's right. So Patrick, thank you first of all and welcome to the show and happy Party Friday to you.
Yes. Thanks for having me.
Wanted to talk to you. Okay, so you've had a couple of statue topplings here.
Yeah, just here there.
Just a few in Denver. You know, I don't get why they toppled the Christopher Columbus one. It's a guy... Columbus, but
no,
at any rate,
close enough.
But what do you think? So they toppled the statue at the state capitol.
Which one? The Civil War one?
Yeah, the Civil War one, which was commemorating the freedom of slaves, by the way. But they toppled that anyway.
Because we were on the Union side, right?
During the Civil War. Well, so you know, history doesn't matter.
Yeah, but then again, you know, Democrats supported the South, so they were pro-slavery. Their whole time.
But Patrick, you know, I wanted to ask you about this in particular. Number one, you work there, right? This is your workplace to a certain extent as a state legislator. And also, I mean, you fought in the Army or in the military.
You fought
for freedom, right? What your take on this statue toppling, to me, nonsense that's going on?
It's driving me nuts. I don't know when the governor's going to actually step up and actually order the state patrol to do something and to actually intervene when these kind of things start happening. I mean, they've basically told them to stand down. And I don't know if that's an order he's given directly, but that's my only guess because I know the State Patrol troopers that serve down there, and they certainly don't want to see this kind of stuff happening. So someone's obviously ordered them to stand down. I don't know if that was the governor or not, but when you see these types of things happening, yeah, it makes me incredibly angry. I mean, just the total naiveness of the people that actually tore that statue, that monument down. That monument actually stood for an anonymous Union soldier celebrating the fact that Colorado had sent more people per capita than any other territory or state to the Union effort. So just like Chuck was saying, like you were saying, we were part of the Union. There's a reason why the Capitol is located by Lincoln, Grant, and Sherman. I mean, that wasn't by accident, right?
Right.
Yeah, it's not Grant.
It's not
Downey. Stonewall Jackson.
Right.
Boulevard.
Well, let me ask, because I wanted to clarify this, because here's what I'm sitting there thinking to myself. Okay, wait, so this is the state capitol. Then the other statue that they tore down was in Civic Center Park, right? These are areas that I think, number one, the state patrol is in charge of the
Which
state
one was
capitol.
That? Which one was the Civic Center Park?
The one in the circle.
That needed to come down.
No, it's down. Where was the State Patrol? I'm assuming the State Patrol staffs the state capitol overnight for security purposes. I mean, was there a direct order to stand down, do you think? Or were they just ignoring it? Or were they surprised and they didn't know?
Oh, they don't like statutes either.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think they had, maybe they didn't have the number of people. I don't know how many people came in to tear that down. My guess is it wasn't that many. You know, when they get the large crowds, they were kind of telling me sometimes they won't directly intervene because if they don't have enough people to actually come in and intervene, then it puts their own troopers at risk. The problem is, you know, everyone's wearing masks, so you can't even sit back and identify these guys and try to go get them later because now it's PC and the cool thing to do to wear a mask.
Right.
So it's going to be really hard to find these guys, but I mean, this is what's making me upset is that he hasn't done anything. Like you said, it is the area where I work. I mean, I've come in and we had some of the windows were busted out in our office and the doors that I walk in have been totally shattered. They're basically taking like water balloon launchers and putting rocks in them and launching them with these thick glass doors that we have at the Capitol. And they shattered all those. So all those are boarded up. The graffiti's all still around. I mean, I can't take my kids down to, like, you know, the Capitol where I work, because there's a bunch of profanity all over the grounds and in the area. And then now we have people like Tay Anderson.
Yeah, good old Tay.
Leave the statue down. And he was the one saying, burn it down right before the riots. And then the media is making him out to be some, like, civil rights justice hero. And he's
Right.
And I need to call him for what he's doing.
Right. Well, I agree, you know, because I thought Polis issued a fairly wishy-washy statement saying, oh, this is terrible. But I'm like, well, you're the one who has the ability to stop it, right? You're the one who has the ability to tell the State Patrol to staff up, to go ahead and intervene. Because I'm going to submit, Patrick, and you tell me what you think. This is about a lot more than just tearing down statues, right?
If people,
If you want to get rid of a statue, fine. There are legal, civil, respectful ways to do that, right?
Well, they're not any fun.
But these people, I think, just want to destroy. For Polis, and I don't get why the Democrat Party is like, hey, we're all for destruction and destroying the economy in the country,
it works.
Too.
It works. It's always worked.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, and then you've got the governor on one hand condemning it and then trying to blame all these sorts of other different groups. And then you've got Tay Anderson out there actually celebrating the taking down of the statue. So which is it?
Yeah.
I mean, are the Democrats condemning it or are they celebrating it? And I guess it's, you know, the governor was trying to basically blame it on drunk teenagers or something. But
that's an elected official
who is celebrating it. So
Right.
You know, I don't think it was just some drunk teenagers doing this.
No. Well, I mean, if they were drunk teenagers, you know, again, you'd hope that the State Patrol would say, hey, drunk teenagers, go away, right? But these were drunk teenagers who came prepared with ropes and with, you know, spray paint and things like that. And
Stephen Tubbs had a very laudatory interview with Tay Anderson. So
everybody's afraid of Tay Anderson. I mean, Tay Anderson is, you know, this is, I think, Patrick, this is just me, but if you're a Denver parent with kids in school, elections have consequences, and Tay Anderson is certainly there. What do you think?
Without a doubt.
Right.
And, you know, what strikes me is the stark contrast when we were having the reopen rallies in front of the Capitol. There was a guy who was not doing anything wrong, really, I mean, or anything even remotely violent, but he was open carrying, which is against the Denver ordinance, and they certainly jumped in and arrested him.
Right.
Standing there doing nothing, and he was arrested. Tearing down statues, and they haven't arrested them.
No. It's really, and they attacked you, right, for taking your mask off to help a woman who had been sort of assaulted and was scared, right?
What?
And then said, but if you're, you know, if you're a rioter or a protester, it's like, well, that's okay. That's
if those rioters and protesters had any guts, they would go to a new high density apartment house just opening up and try demonstrating there.
Yeah.
You want to see a police presence that'll come down viciously on them and get them arrested. That will do it. I promise you the mayor of Denver will not permit demonstrations in front of high density apartment buildings.
Because
Denver.
The
developers are not going to take it, and they own the city.
Right.
So
let me see. I'm going to toss this out. So if Sue Moore, she had contacted me and wanted to talk about your ward. And Sue, if I don't see you there, but we don't see everybody. If you're here, go ahead and open things up and talk. Otherwise, though, we'll go ahead and mention that Patrick won. There isn't the one Liberty group is gone now, but there's another group that has taken up the Liberty scorecard.
Which is a great thing.
Right. And you got a great award there. So congratulations.
Yeah, you got the Goldwater. Did you get the early Goldwater or the late Goldwater?
The good Goldwater.
Yeah. It's funny that you mentioned that, Chuck. I was actually laughing with my daughter about that. She's staying with my dad now, and I was on a phone call with her last night, and I was trying to explain to her that, yeah, you know, Barry Goldwater was really good in his early days, but, you know, in his later days.
not quite so much. Not so much. You know. You got some of the Joe Biden senility going.
Yeah, that's right. What about with the legislature done now? I was at the grocery store yesterday, so the other petition, the Democrats weren't able to get, even though they mostly got everything they wanted done.
They got everything.
Well, no, because they're out gathering petitions
now.
Oh,
well, they didn't get one way, they'll get it the other way.
Right, so I was at the grocery store, and some guy's like, hey, you want to sign this petition to lower income taxes? It'll make everybody's tax rate cheaper. Can you talk about that? Because we've kind of been down this road before, right? And the Democrats weren't able to get that kind of ram through. We've got Sue, so we'll go to Sue here in a second. But can you talk about what's this income tax thing that people are hanging around grocery stores trying to get us to sign petitions for?
Yeah, there's actually some good ones out there that are trying to move forward. One's just a flat lowering of the income tax. It just straight up lowers the rate.
Yeah, the Independence Institute is kind of on that one.
Yeah, and so there's that one moving forward, and then there's another one. That the one I really, really like is the one that basically defines fees better.
And yes, says that if yes. I wish they'd lower it. Yeah, I wish.
Yeah, I know. I think this is. I think it's like it's $100 million over 5 years.
Yeah, we got to get that $12.35 level.
Yeah, but you know, so there's that good one, and there's some other bad ones that are going to be headed on the way via referendum and not just petition too. So, you know, okay. Keep an eye out for those. The things like your the Gallagher repeal. I think that would spell doom.
Bad.
Me back up and let me clarify. So income tax, sign that one, right? The income tax reform, sign that one.
Well, no, the one that lowers
that
it.
That lowers the income tax.
You don't want the one that makes it, quote unquote, more fair, because that really hikes everyone.
Okay, that's what I was thinking.
And my suggestion would be read it and don't take the petition, whoever's gathering the signatures, their word for what it is.
Democrat. I mean, Democrat person. You can always tell.
There were some petitioners out in front of Castle Rock that were collecting, and they were all straight conservative petitions. And
these
guys were like honest about it. But I looked at them and it was like, okay, well, they were smart. I actually even asked them what company they were from, because I think they did a pretty good job gathering the signatures. But they were smart. They said, hey, Castle Rock, pretty conservative area. Let's go. Yeah. We're gonna just hit these five different conservative issues, and they were all conservative issues. But yeah, definitely don't just take the word of someone saying that, oh, this will lower income tax rates, or, oh, do you just want to, I mean, they'll use it for something to sell. And the language is pretty plain and clear. Just read one sentence or two sentences.
Are these paid petition gatherers? I mean, and who's paying for it? Or are these volunteers?
The Democrat side, they're paid. Well, yeah. I promise you they're paid.
Do you know who's paying for this?
Yeah, the state of Colorado.
Yeah, we are.
That's how you're paying for it. They figure all kinds of different ways to get these people money.
I guess Planned Parenthood. Yeah, what about the Republican ones?
Well, I think, you know, for the Republican ones, I think the Independence Institute's behind some of them. So there's Michael Fields and Colorado Rising Action and AFP are behind some of those ballot initiatives. And so they are paid efforts. I mean, that's why I asked. It wasn't volunteers. I asked them what company you were with, and I think they said Northwestern petition something. But you know, they were pretty good.
Okay.
Well, you know, I was amazed and impressed and almost disbelieving that the petition for
due date too late
managed to get almost 50,000 signatures.
Almost all volunteers.
Almost all volunteers. So you're gonna go, who is this Republican? You know, a conservative group. I mean, this is incredible. We got to get them behind, you know, get out the vote. And then somebody said, it was a Catholic church who did it all. And you go, we'll take it anyway. no great conservative group. No great Republican. No, maybe it was a church. So, yeah, well, we should thank them for doing that.
There was certainly, you know, it certainly was a mostly volunteer effort, and that was just.
It was all volunteers, but it was honchoed by the church.
Let me, Patrick. It's time for the award ceremony. We've got two more with us online too, from the Republican Liberty Caucus. I think I'm saying it right. Yeah, Republican Liberty Caucus of Colorado. Hey, Sue. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me, Julie. I appreciate it.
Hey, and so Chuck was saying, is this the good gold water or the bad gold water?
Well, it's the good one, whichever one you think that is. But it's an honor.
1964, that gold water, absolutely. We loved him. We love that gold water.
Yeah,
78, so anyway, not so much.
Yeah, so the Republican Liberty Caucus ran a scorecard. We call it the Liberty Scorecard this year. We kind of picked it up from Principles of Liberty, who did it for years and years, and it was very highly respected. But we took that ball, we ran with it, we expanded it. We read and rated over 450 bills out of the 711 that were introduced. So it's a very robust process. But we read the bills, we rate the bills, we either support or oppose, and then we compare our positions with those of each legislator. And you know, guess what? Patrick Neville came out on top. He's our number one score
well
winner,
good.
And we
well
are
good.
Going
Yay.
To be sending him.
How did Kevin Crowley do?
Excuse me. Oh, how did Kevin Priola do? Well, you know, if you want to see all the results, you can go to our.
No, but you've got him there, don't you? Don't you have him there? No, well, just wondering.
You know, I do. Kevin did not do so well.
Oh, okay. Just wondering.
But anyway, it's a measure of commitment to and understanding of liberty principles. So, you know, we're thrilled to give it to Patrick Neville. We'll have to make an arrangement to get it to him in person sometime later this summer. But anyway, Patrick's a rock star. We really appreciate all the hard work he's put in down at the Capitol. And we're proud to stand with him and congratulate him. So thank you, Patrick. We really appreciate it.
Well, we want to thank you, Sue, for picking up the the Liberty Stick from Principles of Liberty, because it really is incredibly useful to look at these ratings. And these are not from Conservative Inc. These are not the, you know, the business people telling you, oh, yeah, we got a great tax break, so we love this person. This is real. This is a real grassroots, honest rating. So it's, if you come out the highest, it's fantastic.
Patrick, you can respond, and then Sue, before we let you go, I want to make sure we give you a chance to tell people how they can find out more about you. But Patrick.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for everything that you've done. I just Sue, I just agree with what Chuck is saying. It's nice to have the organization out there and actually watching the votes and keeping legislators accountable, and that's a good thing. I, you know, applaud that. And when you rate that many bills, it's not like you can cherry pick bills here and there to
right.
You know, make it your favorite one come out on top, or you know,
exactly.
And you know, for the record,
For the record, you didn't have a perfect score, so you know there's still room for improvement there, Patrick. No, we really appreciate your hard work, and we want to make it an honest measure of understanding of liberty principles, free markets, individual rights, and limited government. And you passed that test with flying colors. So thank
That's
you.
Fantastic.
So I'm going to put you on the spot here a little bit like Chuck did. So you can say, I don't know. Colin Larson, how did he do? The guy running against.
Colin was a D. He's a solid D. He actually sponsored a couple of bills that we weren't real crazy about. One raising the age limit of buying nicotine products from 18 to 21.
Right.
We didn't really care for that. You know,
free kindergarten, he was for that one.
And fighting a war.
He was for free kindergarten, wasn't he? Wasn't he getting together with the governor? With free
I don't recall that one off the top of my head.
Okay. Yeah. Well,
Thanks.
Thank you for answering that. Yeah. And then, where can people find out more about you? Where can they see the scorecard? Because you guys really do.
A great
job. If you're trying to figure out who to vote, this is one of the places that's good to go to, because you can see where people stand and what they. And it's not just like a rating. You can actually see what they did and what they voted for. So where can people find out more about you guys?
Yeah, exactly. There's a ton of information. Just go. The best way to get there is go to our website, rlcco.org. That stands for Republican Liberty Caucus of Colorado. And there's a link right there. And you can click on that and go into each legislator, see exactly, you know, where they voted right and wrong. It's all kind of color coded, you know, and it's all the information's there. And, you know, for all to see and, you know, read and weep and do whatever you want.
Read and weep.
All right. Well, Sue, thank you for coming on. Appreciate it.
Thank you for all you're doing, Sue.
All right. Thank you. Have a good afternoon.
All right. I just had to sneak that in there about Colin Larson, by the way.
Yeah. All right. Well, so let's go to endorsements, and you brought that up, Julie. Now, there's the race in South Jeffco that Patrick didn't endorse, which he can't really, because Colin Larson is part of his caucus, and Justin Effort's been a longtime friend, so you can't really do that. That wouldn't be fair. But let's go.
Well, it's one of the things, too. I made it very clear when I took leadership. The previous leadership was playing heavily in primaries against incumbents like Lori Sain and others and trying to do that. And so one of the things I said is that no one, you know, neither myself nor anyone that works for me will be involved in primaries against incumbents. And
And I think that's
stuck to that pledge, and I think it is the right thing to do, but it is getting frustrating seeing, you know, even in some of these open seats, how much money's flowing into these primary races.
Hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Not from Republicans, right? This is Democrat money flowing into
by
Republican
four organizations,
primaries.
Particularly the Constitutional Principles, which is all
And thank you, open primaries. So
thank you. But okay, so you endorsed Pat Miller. We love Pat Miller. She's great. That was a good endorsement, wasn't it?
Yeah. Pat Miller, Grady Neuwies.
Well, Grady, I don't see you on Grady's list.
Well, maybe you didn't put me down, but yeah. I've been long-time friends with Grady, and
that's what I thought. That's his little threat. How about Vicky Marble? Well, how about Vicky Marble?
Yes, absolutely. You know, I served with her and you know, she's in the Senate right now, and
right.
You know, I have my father. She's probably the best vote we've had in the Senate that I can, you know, truly count on and a true patriot. So having her come in the House, and she's going to be replacing Lori Sain. So
yes.
Definitely, you know, if you're going to, those are big shoes to fill, because Lori Sain is such a rock star herself and such a strong, courageous person that, you know, the only one that could probably do it is Vicki Marble.
Talk about a new rock star, Rupert Parchman, up in Senate District 23. You endorsed him, and along with a lot of great, Steve Humphries did, and Tommy Tancredo did, and a lot of other good people. And that he looks like he could be a real rock star for the Republican Party.
Oh, I completely agree. I mean, the guy's bold and outspoken, and just, but you see again what they're doing to him, and with all this Democrat money pouring in, and the way they're trying to attack him, it's just amazing. But he would be a great person to add and to the fold, and he's just got that normal kind of blue collar experience that we're all looking for, and a good story behind himself, and I would love to see him down there.
Yeah.
All right. So for Will County, the races, you endorse Lori Sain, who just indicated is tremendous, and everybody loves Lori. Perry Buck. Did you endorse her?
I'm sorry, you broke out for a bit there, Chuck. I didn't hear you.
Perry Buck.
Perry Buck for Will County.
Oh yes.
Okay.
Yes, Perry Buck, Lori Sain. I endorsed both of them for commissioner. You know, I've served with them for the last 6 years down there. They kind of blazed the trail the 2 years before I was there.
How about Christy Melendez?
I don't know. I've not made a...
Okay.
Well, you know, and I want to just make my pitch. You know, Neil Mathai always says, whether it's in Colorado or California or wherever you live, you know, it's local, local, local. So these are county commission races, right? And people
may say,
yeah, what difference does that make? Well, you look
everything.
At, yeah, Well County had county commissioners work with their health department, and they opened up before the rest of
us. They worked against their health department to open everything up.
Right. And so, I mean, when you agree with that, Patrick, that these local races, people are like, wow, what difference does it make? They make a lot of difference.
Oh, a huge difference, especially in the county like Weld County, where that's kind of a county we're all going to be looking towards to fight back on some of this, you know, especially like oil and gas. They say, oh, it's local control, but then it's really not. And so, if you have a strong county like Weld County, they can kind of lead the way on some of those issues. They really set an example for the entire state.
Well, I can tell.
Reeves was able to do with the red flag issue when he took a stand there.
And, yes.
And some other things. So, yeah, those local races matter.
The one thing today is if you go on a website of somebody who the Hillary Clinton supporters are endorsing with hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars.
A Republican website.
And you compare it to the grassroots candidate, they're identical. I mean, they're absolutely identical.
Their platforms,
what the issues are, what they support and so forth. And they've learned the trick of pretend you're a conservative and send out mailers, you know, the famous Republican consultant mailers by the huge numbers. And you cannot tell, you would not know these were Clinton clones. They just sound so conservative. And the only thing you can do today is look who's giving to the campaigns. And so if you see these, there are four groups, and maybe I'll announce which the four groups are, but they're all left-wing, Ready Jobs. Oh yeah, Ready Jobs, ready to screw
Unite
you.
Unite
America, which goes down to that group that calls itself.
Except for statues, Unite America, but tear down statues. Yeah. Okay.
But all you can tell, the only ways you can tell is who contributed to the campaign and who endorsed. So, I mean, if I see an endorsement by Pat Neville, I'm voting for that person. Or Tom Tancredo, or some other people, or Vicki Marble, or Lori Sain. If they get the endorsement, I'm all in. And if they have kind of, I remember there's one candidate who we won't go exactly, that had a big video of Both Ways Bob. I think Colin did. Both Ways Bob. And I go, oh, okay.
It's a lot.
Okay. Okay. So that's the only way you can tell, because, you know, you go on the websites for these kind of Rhino Republicans, or really, they're really Democrats in some cases, are identical. Oh, Second Amendment, we're strong on the Second Amendment.
Yeah, you got to do your homework these days.
Well, your homework is who the endorsers are.
Right.
Honestly, they're who the endorsers are and who's giving money. That's the only way you can tell from a fake conservative from a real conservative.
Patrick, he's passing. Chuck's rant. Sorry, we didn't need to cue you. Chuck's rant was over. Let me ask you.
Well, if he agrees with my rant, that's what we wanted to know. Let him answer, Julie.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, especially some of the local races. I mean, that's true. And I mean, I think you could, the other homework you can do is, you know, look at some of the different, you know, outside grading groups and stuff like that. You can actually kind of see how the things are. And, but yeah, it's really tough, like, especially when you get into the commissioner races, because typically, you know, there's no one out there. There's no, you know, Republican Liberty Caucus out there reading, you know.
But there's plenty of, there are plenty of other conservative ones that are conservative ink, you know, they're just government ones. I mean, not government ones, but businesses. And so somebody gets this great ACU rating, you kind of go, well, wait a minute, he's a total rhino. Where did he get that rating? So Well,
we got to let Patrick go here in a second.
We got to let Patrick go.
Before we let you go, let me just kind of open-ended question here. Anything you're keeping track of?
Yeah, anything that, you see important.
That we need to know about?
No, you know, we're just keeping an eye on a lot of these primaries, definitely concerned to see how this Democrat money is coming into these elections. I'm especially concerned about some of those Weld County races that we mentioned in the past. I think it's telling the Democrats are spending money in Republican primaries in very safe Republican seats. And I think that is because, you know, it makes their job a lot easier if there isn't actually a large vocal minority down there. And that's what we've been, you know, with heroes in there like Perry Buck and Lori Sain that we've had down there in the past 6 years. You know, they know they can't just ram stuff down. We're going to at least be a bulwark against all their socialist agenda. And so I think they would much rather prefer and would have some rather have other folks in there who would just kind of easily step aside and let stuff happen.
Well, I got one other thing, real quick thing. He'll be happy about this.
Okay. hopefully Patrick. I never know.
But I got a funding request from, you know, along with every other Republican, I'm sure, for Values First. And I just wanted to say that I'm giving.
That's you guys, right?
That's you guys. So why don't you promo that a little and tell everybody where they can, you know, make sure that their money is not going to the Rhino candidates. It's in fact going to go to good, strong conservatives.
Is he there?
Again, his connection is really bad.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm just saying promote Values First. I was saying I got a funding request for it from you, along with, you know, 100,000 other people.
Well, that's
why I'm going to give to Values First and why everybody should give to Values First.
Yes, yeah, and Values First, it's one of those things. The Values First, we don't play in primaries. We actually play in general elections. And we'll help get all Republicans elected, and that is the organization that we have as a house that. Like I said in the past, it was kind of frustrating because a lot of past leaders used that money and that fund to attack other Republicans, and we've been saving it for the general.
Yeah,
so looking forward to the general.
All right, Patrick.
How do you just go on the website and they can get to it from there? They give money.
Yeah. So it's and you can also go to Take Back CO is another one that we have.
Right.
So takebackco.org is a good place to go, and that's where we're kind of focusing our more grassroots efforts and small dollar donations into Take Back CO. The Values First is just kind of your typical 527 leadership organization.
Okay, well, maybe I should give it to Take Back. I'll give it to Take Back CO then.
All right. Hey, Patrick, listen, we got to let you go. Thank you for your time.
You've been great, as always. You're tremendous.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, thank you. Take Back CO, because, it's hard to keep track. You know, and we'll talk, and if people have questions ever, feel free to call in and say, hey, wait, what about this race? What about that race? We kind of, that's some of the stuff we've done in the past, right? And we try to keep up on that. Real quick before we go to George Anthonisopoulos, it's kind of interesting. There was some good news today. A federal judge, it shows like sometimes federal judges can be important, good, smacked down de Blasio and Cuomo, who said, hey, it's okay for protesters, but it's not okay to pray, right?
But the Ninth Circuit, to go the opposite end, in a 2-1 decision, said that Trump couldn't use military funds for the wall. So hopefully that'll be overturned, but you never know.
That's right. And Karen Kadlin has just texted us, and she's right. Colorado Citizen Press, again, a great blog site that we go to every day. She talks about the Republican effort there. And it's not a Republican effort, right? It's a Democrat effort. And so you just got to be real careful about that stuff. ColoradoCitizenPress.com, I think, are the folks who brought this up to our attention
in the first place.
Before we go to George, you want to tell folks about Synagenix?
Yeah, I mean, these days when everybody's worried about their health and they want to make sure that they're not part of the endangered group. Well, the way you do that is going to people like Synagenix. They will test everything, go all through you 100% and say, hey, you're great here. You know, this, you, this is great. This, you know, your level of this is great, but here it's a real challenge and you need to help. We need to help you get that back up to make you as healthy as you can be. So you really want to go to Synergenics. You can just, it's a free consultation. They'll give you a consultation and
Dr. Julie McCallum,
and you'll be glad you did. And it's 720-387-3681, 720-387-3681, or Synergenics, C-E-N-E-C-E-N-I-C-S. It's tremendous. It'll be a lifesaver.
All right. So we got George. I think, let me look, put on my glasses. This is terrible. I can never see the thing. Okay. George is with us now. George Anthonisopoulos, most commonly known as the A-Man. Once again,
we don't have the bat signal anymore.
Well, we kind of do.
Well, we lost it. We had it on the top of the building at KNUS, and then, you know, they tore it down when we.
But George is, you're a political observer. You just really understand the mechanics of politics. So we're glad to have you on again. And what you guys have talked, Chuck and George.
What they did put up is the Tay Anderson bat. You know, you now they can put the Tay Anderson, and so they can get Tay Anderson to come in and talk to their afternoon drive time guy.
Yeah, really.
That's a little, but just
being. Oh, okay. Somebody said they came in late. They wanted to talk about the Liberty Organization. This is a good point to let people know. I'm sorry, George, we're being kind of, it's hard to read here what people are saying.
No, you're good. You're good. Yeah.
Go to chuckandjulie.com always. That'll take you everywhere you need to go. Well, so you called Chuck earlier today and you said, holy, you know what? I can't believe what's going on, or it's either fraud or incompetence. Why don't you explain what got you so excited earlier today?
So I'm just a political observer and I'm looking at primary ballot returns across the state. So you look across all the counties and the one county that is unlike all the others is Adams County. So if you go to the Secretary of State's website to the page where they have the press releases, they release vote totals every day.
For the June 30th primary that we're all voting
right next Tuesday, right?
Yeah. Yes. And so they tabulate and release a list every day, all returned ballots, mail and in-person combined. And this is a number that accrues day to day, because, you know, on Tuesday you have so many ballots, you receive additional ballots, and then on Wednesday you release a number that's larger than the previous days.
Typically,
presumably, you can add. And so I'm looking at Adams County between yesterday and today, and the numbers are smaller today.
That shows you how good Adams County is. It's able to solve these almost impossible mathematical quiz. Is how do you add two numbers and end up subtracting? That is a great,
that's common core math.
Common core math working out there. So we'll be down to zero Republicans by the end, by Tuesday.
Well, I mean, it's their total vote count went up by 25, but there are 2,213 fewer Republican primary ballots tabulated. There are 5,303 fewer Democrat ballots. Their in-process number dropped significantly. What? The number of ballots they're processing dropped. But the thing is, I can't make, head nor tail of this, because they don't make
sense. You got an MBA, but do you have a higher mathematical
degree? That's right, you're an MBA there, George.
How much math, higher negative numbers, imaginary numbers, all that do you really have?
I want to make sure I'm understanding you. So you're saying, just to put it in like my kind of math numbers, so on Tuesday they had 10 ballots, and now today they have 8. So somehow
they
disappeared is what you're saying?
I mean, according to the spreadsheet distributed by the Secretary of State, yesterday they showed that they had received 17,609 Republican ballots. So from Republican registered voters, that's how many they had received. Today they reported 15,396.
That's cumulative
total.
So
somehow 2,000 Republican ballots got. But George, you must be wrong, because the Democrats and Nancy Pelosi tell us there is no mail fraud or voter mail fraud.
No incompetence.
No incompetence. No fraud. No. I don't know. You know, you must be mistaken.
And again, I don't even have to rely on my own skill to add and subtract. I use Excel, so I can find the plus sign and the equal sign on my keyboard, and this doesn't make sense. And all the other counties are not like this. So this is one of 64.
Thank God for Adams County. Thank God.
Is there any indication that
Adams County?
Two questions. One, is there any indication that anyone's looking into this? Because you can't, something was wrong. The Iowa caucus, right? Where they had like people coming and going.
You've got a solid Democrat county clerk. So there can be no shenanigans.
There's 2,000 fewer ballots that have just disappeared somehow. But is the Republican Party looking into this at all? Do you have any indication?
Well, we have a great chairman.
So these numbers were posted a few hours ago, and I happened to be in front of my computer, so I pulled them down, and I started looking at them. And, you know, it's typically just an equation that you run in Excel. And so I run it for all 64 counties, and I see red jump off the screen. I was like, no, that's not possible. Yeah. That means a negative number. And I'm looking at it, and I was like, no, holy cow, Adams County is reporting fewer ballots for Republicans and Democrats. How is that possible?
Right. Maybe they send it to Massachusetts or something. I mean, it's, you know, here's the thing. This is why. And, you know, I get so annoyed because I have some of my liberal friends on some of my Facebook page and like, well, there's no mail ballot fraud. And they twist the argument around. I don't think that the Secretary of State's computer system is hacked. Although now you raise that possibility. I don't see, because these are not tabulated ballots. We're not saying who's voting for who. These are just the physical ballots. Somehow or another, they have 2,000 fewer Republican ballots today than they had yesterday. That's got to be a computer glitch, right? That's not some kind of human error or somebody lost them or they were in a truck someplace and they just discovered them that's got to be a computer glitch, right?
I don't know, it's glitch that's only found in Adams County, and if it's either incompetence or malfeasance, or they just do this in a weird way, because they were processing, let's say, 3,800 ballots yesterday. Today they're processing 11,000 some ballots. And I mean, their numbers just don't make any sense when you look at all the other counties.
Right. It's
crazy.
Even if it jumps back up, it's got to make you wonder what's going on, right? I mean, what's going on that ballots are disappearing, ballots are reappearing. My liberal friends who say, oh, no, there's no such thing as, voter fraud. There is. And this proves it.
I've heard, and I'm sure you have, there's an interesting meeting down in El Paso County where the wonderful monument mafia.
Interesting is being generous.
Yeah. Right. Or bloodbath.
Your take on that.
Yeah, the meeting. Tell us about it.
Well, so there was in a dispute involving one of the county officials, whether or not he took money that the donors meant for the county parties and used it for personal benefit. And they were going to have a hearing.
Yeah.
And it degenerated into just yelling and accusation and just complete childish behavior. You know, former Secretary of State Wayne Williams was there. Yeah. Eli Bremer was there. The county chair, Vicky Tompkins,
Vicky Tompkins was probably the one being attacked, because that's what the monument mafia, as they call them, love to do to people.
Well, yeah, and I mean, I think she was doing her best to try and keep control of the crowd, but it just degenerated into absolute havoc. And
that's not because the grassroots people started; it's because Eli Bremer is
an establishment people. Hey, wait, there. I want to interrupt to go back to it. This is kind of a funny top. Mark Tiernan is Tiemann, and I apologize, Mark, if I'm saying your name wrong. Back to the other thing, he called that reverse ballot harvesting.
Yes,
so reverse. The Democrats have right. now mastered reverse ballot they harvesting,
go to the, too. They go to the secretary, they go to the clerk's office and ballot them back. It's great.
Well, George,
they're like, we can't count this high. We're just going to get rid of some of these. It's just, yeah. Hey, take a stack from there and just throw them away.
And just throw them away. You know, there have been people who have done that, unfortunately. Let me go back to your thing. What do you make, just to kind of broaden it out, what do you make in general of what seems to be, particularly in Colorado, sort of a growing attack on grassroots Republicans? I would say a growing attack on grassroots Republicans.
In Colorado.
I mean, here's what I'll tell you, just from my novice perspective, you have absolute chaos in the political arena right now across the country. It is between what's going on with the markets and the real economy, what is going on with the coronavirus, what you have with the American version of the Taliban tearing down statues of, you know, everybody from Christopher Columbus to defacing statues of Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Right.
Because apparently he was involved with the Confederacy in some way.
Okay, and so Stevie Ray Vaughan is a racist now too. So, okay.
Well, it's just, I mean, apparently if you have a statue, you were automatically...
Yeah, you're in trouble.
Like
the iconoclastic movement back in the 11th century, where they wanted to get rid of all the icons.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm looking at this, and it's just chaos. But if you focus on... Let's bring it to Corey and the Senate race, right? So I think Hickenlooper has a tougher primary than he expected, because right now all the energy and enthusiasm is with the, you know, the fringe of the Democratic left, right?
Right.
So, you know, I'm looking at what he is spending, and, you know, he's spent a different, you know, decent amount. He's about $2 million to date.
Mm-hmm.
That's not nothing. I mean, Hicks spent almost $7 million. So obviously Hickenlooper is taking this seriously.
Right.
And of course, Corey, he's spending money to bash Hickenlooper. So Hickenlooper's getting it from both sides. And you might see an upset come Tuesday, just because.
And it
was interesting. But Channel 9 just had a poll where they, and you know, trusting Channel 9 is a futile effort, but they show Hickenlooper up by 30 points.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Well, you know, here's the thing, though. I want to go back to something else we've talked about, though, and kind of tie it all together. And that is, where's Cory Gardner on the statue issue? I know he puts out a lot of tweets.
He's for both sides.
I mean, George, this is my thing. Where are the Republicans in terms of the Republic? Where's Mitch McConnell? Patrick Neville, he's happy to say what he thinks. Where's Scott Tipton? Is anybody really when it comes? Even, well, Ken Buck has been out there. I'll give Ken Buck that too. But where's Cory Gardner on this? The riots, the looting.
He brought some masks in, huh?
Oh, that's right. I mean,
he got some masks.
To me, it's like, why? What's your take? And maybe you disagree with me. I'm just these cowardly Republicans. It seems clear, you know, the country is at stake here, right? Some major cultural shifts could occur. And my personal thinking is that if you're Cory Gardner, you're like, well, as long as the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is happy, I'm happy. What do you think?
I mean, if you look at the actions, we are so far beyond peaceful First Amendment protected protest that to say that that's what they're doing is just a blatant lie.
Right.
This is domestic terrorism perpetrated by the American Taliban. If you look at what the Taliban did, destroying the largest statues in the world of Buddha several years ago, you look at what ISIS did in Palmyra, like they destroy your history. That's what they do. It's what Chavez did in Venezuela. The first thing the radicals do is destroy history so they can rewrite it.
But where is Cory Gardner on the issue?
He's completely absent.
Right. And why? Here's my theory, and I've said this before, but that you have, this is where the uniparty comes in, right? Take a look at the H-1B visas, right? So Trump, which is essentially allowing foreign workers to come in we were talking earlier, the ski resorts, Colorado Sun had a thing, ski resorts freaking out because of Trump's, you know, crackdown on H-1B visas. And I was like, well, here's a concept for your ski resorts. Why don't you hire Americans? Right. And if you say, Americans won't work for that pay, well, here's another concept. Pay the Americans more. And maybe your CEO just has to take a teeny tiny hit.
Multi-million-dollar bonuses that he's getting.
You know, and I mean, but the Chamber of Commerce people, the establishment Republicans.
Lindsey Graham
came out against
eight other Republicans.
Yeah.
That's what Trump ought to run on, to tell you the truth. I'm going to protect your. I'm going to get you jobs. And these guys are going to destroy it. I mean, it's. Well, That's a winning campaign, but maybe not.
I will agree. So there was a segment by Tucker Carlson on Fox News, and he's the easiest way to quell the insurrection in the United States is use the law as written to prosecute these people who are committing these acts of terrorism. I mean, that carries a 10-year sentence. It's a felony. Start putting them in shackles and duck walking them in front of the cameras, and all of a sudden you'll see all these radicals, suddenly they're going to shape up, because if you start arresting them and charging them with terrorism, which is what they are doing, then they're going to stop. But we need a Justice Department with the courage to actually do that. And
we got another. I'm not sure if Karen Kathleen is still out there, but she's got an interesting thing I think you could comment on, George. Karen, are you out there?
I can read her comments. Is we could be talking. Yes. So we were talking about. Okay, Karen. Oh, I misquoted you. So go ahead.
I was just asking for a point of clarification, because it looks as if there's two different stories. One is Hillary's supporters involving themselves in primaries. Right. And then you have this Colorado Citizen Press article, which is just amazing, saying that Tusk Digital has been getting thousands of dollars from the Colorado GOP for years. Is working closely with anti-Trump groups like the Lincoln Project and the Never Trump PAC. And it's also says, I just quoting here, Tusk's president, Ron Steslow, founded the Lincoln Project and is a vocal anti-Trump politico. With friends like that, who needs enemies? Yeah.
And then people don't know the Lincoln Project is entirely devoted to getting rid of Trump. Well, George, let me ask you before that.
Have you heard about that, George?
I have. And you what remember, it goes back to, you have these political committees in Colorado. They stand up and they give themselves names like Shiny Happy People for Unicorns and Rainbows. And you really have to dig to find out what their true motive is. So you can look and see who the registered agent is, you know, where their office location is. You can look at all these details. You have to do a little digging, but essentially you uncover who's really behind it. And what you see up in Weld County and in some of these primaries is you have liberal groups, liberal money masquerading as.
No, but this is something totally different, George. This is something.
The Republican Party.
This is the state Republican Party.
The second part is you have to know who you're hiring. Like, you have to know that data is one of the most important components of a winning election. And if you hire a vendor, you have to understand the nuances of the contract you're signing, because if that vendor is allowed to compile the data, share the data, sell the data at market value to any other customer, the data you're collecting is benefiting the other customer.
But this is direct money. This is direct money from the major independent expenditure committee. Am I right, Karen? Going directly to Never Trump.
And actually, George, God love him, is being a little too nice, because he's saying
a peacemaker, Karen.
Yeah. They did it accidentally, George, and
they did it on purpose.
Well, let me ask you this. Doesn't Republican Party, though, George, even have any money in Colorado? That's always been an issue, too, that Rev has more money in his, you know, lemonade stand fund than Colorado Republican Party has in its entire budget.
Yeah, let me just pull the state committees. They're not doing so hot. I mean, in terms of cash on hand, you know, the state party June 1st had like $66,000 total. you go to the federal data, you know, they've got, what, May, it was $193,000 cash on hand.
But the Republican committee is an IEC run by Ryan Call for a long time. And I don't even know who controls it now. But they're giving money directly to Never Trumpers, which is amazing. I mean, that's...
You knew people who were trying to sort of start up this kind of thing. Maybe they should reconsider. Maybe if you guys just said, oh, we hate Trump, by the way, then they'll give you the money or something.
What?
I mean, listen, you hire bad staff, they're going to hire bad vendors, and you're going to have a bad campaign. It's not even more complicated.
I don't think it's that nice. I think they're trying to destroy the Republican Party. I don't think they hired bad vendors, and incidentally, they just ended up, you know, oh, we just gave it to Hillary.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, what do you think, Karen? I mean, you read about it. What do you think?
Bingo.
Bingo. Thank you.
There's so many people working against us. You know, why even bother with the people that want to go communist when there are all these people want to destroy Trump? So that's what's amazing is those two stories were both on Colorado Citizen Press. And we're being so bombarded, we can't even keep track of all the betrayals, really. Yeah.
Let me though, and Karen, thank you for bringing that up. Go ahead.
I mean, here's the issue. The state party, to put it charitably, is completely irrelevant this election cycle. The only show in town is the Senate race. And unfortunately, that's where all the money is going. And if you look at Corey's race, right? The state party has pennies on the dollar in terms of how much money he's raised. Like Corey has raised, and they just came out with the pre-primary filing, he's raised $13.8 million. The state party can't even come close to touching a tenth of that. If you look at how much he's spent, you know, he spent $5 million, 5.5. He's got $9.3 million cash on hand. So you compared $9.3 million cash on hand to like $138,000 cash on hand or whatever it is they have. I mean, these are entirely different galaxies of political capability. Like the state party they are not relevant. And if anything, the state party, they assist to simply funnel money to Corey. And what hurts is, that hurts every other Republican on the ballot because they're completely ignored by the Republican Party in the state of Colorado.
We talked to some candidates who had experience like you did where they're like, well, you know, the Republican Party is...
They were nice. They said, we appreciate you running.
Yeah. So not a lot of help. Well, let me kind of, because we're wrapping up here in a few minutes, I want to bring up some good news because that's me.
That's Julie. The good news section of the program is right here.
And Chuck, you caught this. Okay. So
okay,
Chuck,
I caught it.
I'm curious about your opinion on this too. So there was, I'll let you explain, the race in New York, right? Where...
Collins, who is a kind of a pretty good Republican in upstate New York, got caught with some sort of miscreant deed. So he resigned, and so they had a general election on Tuesday. And everybody felt it'd be close. There had been close elections before. They thought
the Democrat might have a chance.
They had a chance, and this could go either way. Ends up the Republican won by almost 70%.
Yeah.
I mean,
it had
70% was supposed to be a close race. So there's, you know, and you get these ones where, okay, Trump goes to Wisconsin, everybody's lining the streets cheering him. He goes to Maine, everybody's lining the streets cheering him. I mean, there are a lot of signs. Maybe they're just silver lining in an otherwise bleak storm, but you're kind of like, maybe we're not getting we're not getting the whole
total. I mean, 70%, that's huge, right?
Yeah.
So what do you think, George?
The issue is, with everything going on and the way the current climate is affecting people's behavior and perceptions, you can put even less stock in polling this cycle than you have in previous cycles. So the polling, I think, is completely irrelevant. Now, that's not to say that Trump is in a good position or a bad position, because it is completely unknown.
Right.
The only thing I will say is nobody knows. The pollsters certainly have no idea whatsoever, because their weightings, their sampling methodology, all of that is completely out of the window, because society has fundamentally changed in response to what you see going on politically, economically, frankly, criminally with the with the American Taliban. So things have changed and polling has not kept up. And I'm not saying that it's going to be a great year for Republicans or a great year for Democrats. It is completely unknown at this time. But what you can see is you can look at the mechanics. So what are campaigns raising and what are they spending it on, more importantly? And looking at, you know, the Senate race, I still don't have a lot of hope for Corey just based on the mechanics. But at this point, who knows? It's so the political environment is so tumultuous. There's so much in the air that any prognosticator who will claim to know what's going to happen is just full of crap. I mean,
we have we're going to bring the magic eight ball down. We're going to bring the magic eight ball for our next show, and people can call up and ask it questions. Maybe we'll do that in a bit. Hey, listen, George, we're coming
That'll probably be more accurate than the pollsters.
Hey, we got to let you go. Thank you for your
Thanks
time.
Thanks again, George. You're wonderful. Good to talk to you.
Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Hey, so I want to let folks know, on Monday we'll be off. We have to finally, sporting events have opened up for kids again. So we've got a sporting event with Rev to go to. Dr. Brian Junedup has graciously agreed to fill in.
He's tremendous.
Yeah, he's going to be here. He's got another doctor on, too. They're going to talk about some of the articles that have got up in American Thinker. They're going to talk about COVID. And these are doctors, right? They're going to talk about...
I don't believe them, then. They're lying. No, right. No, Brian is tremendous. And you'll get to hear a really intelligent one of, hey, is this something... What does this really mean?
And Joe Biden says we all have to wear a mask. Give me a break.
Joe Biden. Yeah.
Well, he just wants to wear a mask. Well, because that's not really Joe Biden. That's what I think. That's
really?
Why he needs the
I
mask.
Knew it. I knew it. I knew it. Get the sunglasses. Get the mask. Could be anybody. Could be anybody.
It'd be Joe.
It'd be Joe Biden. Yeah. Better hair.
Want to remind folks, please check out chuckandjulie.com. Go to our YouTube channel. Love to have you subscribe.
Yeah, we'd love you to.
And follow us. We're trying to hit 1,000. That way we can bring all kinds of stuff to you.
New
live.
Stuff to you. Better stuff. Doesn't cost you anything. You don't get
free.
Emails. You don't get anything else. Just hit
on
there.
You get money. No, not really.
You'll get $1,000. No.
ChuckandJulie.com is a place to go for all of the podcasts. Thank you to Colorado Citizen Press.
Man, they're great. Every story they have is really.
Yeah.
And we want to thank the BBS guys. We love them.
BBS
the
guys.
D-Men, Doug and Don. I can't tell the difference in the voices, but I'm sure maybe somebody really attuned they're both wonderful. They're just wonderful.
So, and thank you to everybody listening on Zoom. Thank you to everybody who called in. And that'll wrap it up for Party Friday.
Party Friday. Go out and party.